Saskatchewan. It's time to talk sports. The all-new Sports Cage is on the air for the millions of telephone users like yourselves. Be part of the show. Call 936-6262 or toll free 1-866-767-0620. And we're always online at sportscage.com. 620 CKRM.
And welcome to Sports Cage. This is Don Hewitt, along with Derek Bidwell in Saskatoon. And don't forget, Sports Cage is brought to you by Nelson Homes, supplying home packages and RTMs for over 65 years. We've got a lot going on the Cage today. Before we go over our long list of outstanding guests, why not text the word WIN to 306-936-6262. It's a chance to win your way to our 620 CKRM Classified Country Concert with a mystery singer. You'll only find out who that mystery singer is once that person takes the stage. The event is Saturday night, tomorrow night. Three winners will be picked each day. You'll be certainly informed if you win, and good luck to everybody for that. It should be exciting. We've got the 30-year voice of the Saskatoon Blades, Les Lazarek, joining us off the top of the show. Les deserves, wouldn't you agree, Derek? He deserves the Memorial Cup, wouldn't you say, Derek?
I would say
I'd hand it to him.
Yeah, you mentioned this to me, and you said that if anybody deserves it, it would be Les. He's been around for a long time, obviously, called a lot of games, and has really entertained Saskatoon Blade sports fans for a long time. So he's a legend. He's a broadcast legend in Saskatchewan. I said it to Les before. He said he's a legend in his own mind. I said, no. You're legit. Saskatchewan broadcast legend,
yeah,
and
he is.
Celebrated gem. So yeah, and look forward to talking with Les.
And if you don't hand the Memorial Cup to Les, you might as well hand it to James Gallo of the Warriors, his counterpart. He'll be joining us at the bottom of the clock, so we'll get the two versions of the WHL East Final, one from Les, one from James. At 4 o'clock, Ken Reid, the main anchor at Sportsnet, we're going to talk to him about a whole pile of things. I want to talk to him about how Gary Bettman slid the Coyotes out of Arizona, and sort of his maneuvering there to get him into Utah. That was quite brilliant, but we'll talk to him about a bunch of different things. Daryl Rummelt from CTV Morning Live in Saskatchewan will be with us at 4:30. I want to talk to Daryl about the history you, Derek, have with him going back to Calgary, your old pals, mm-hmm. So that'll be interesting. And then Jeremy O'Day, the big guest at 5 o'clock, he'll be chatting about, first off, the NFL draft, how the NFL draft affects the Rough Rider neg list, and we'll try to keep Jeremy as long as he'll stay with us, and that'll be very interesting interview. So game one of the Western Hockey League East Final goes tonight in Saskatoon. Of course, it's the Blades versus Moose Jaw. And as we said, a legend, Les Lazarek, joins us on the Sports Cage. He's originally from Winnipeg. He's been the play-by-play voice for the Saskatoon Blades since 1994. In other words, he's been the Blades' voice for half of the team's 60-year existence. And while Danny Gallivan was known for the phrase Spinorama, Les belts out such classics as Hi-Ho, Let's Go for the Blades' first goal, or Loop-De-Loop, that's sort of like Spinorama. And then to end contest, the ultimate classic, Winner, Winner, Chicken Dinner. We all like that from Les. So to start off, Les, Bob Ridley. What's that?
There's a few of them. I think you're just scratching the surface right there. He's got a lot of beauties, as the hockey community would say.
Well, the first thing I have to ask Les is Bob Ridley was the voice of the Medicine Hat Tigers for 52 years. And Les, are you going to beat him?
Oh, he's got a ways to go.
I've got a long ways to go. I just don't know that I'd be able to get there with my age. I'm 65. So, I came to Saskatoon after, having been in Winnipeg and working 13 years in the media there. So, I got a taste of that, but it was an opportunity to do a team full-time that I know I wasn't going to get in my hometown of Winnipeg, and I came to that harsh realization at age 35, came here, yeah. And we've never left. I mean, my wife loves it here, and I've grown to really like it as well. So here we are 30 years later, and here we are, a second straight Eastern Conference Final, Don and Derek. And the key thing here is it's an all-Saskatchewan Eastern Conference Final, the first one since 1993, when the Regina Pats played the Swift Current Broncos.
Amazing. Well, I mean, yeah, the Saskatoon's playoff experience from last year, the East Final loss against Winnipeg, will that help them now against Moose Jaw?
A little bit. The fact that they got that far. The good thing, Don, is that they haven't been overly taxed in getting to this point. Unlike last year, where they had to come back from 2-0 down in the series against the Regina Pats in the opening round and were able to vanquish Connor Bedard and company in 7, and then fell behind 3-0 to the Red Deer Rebels in round 2, mm-hmm. and pulled off the reverse sweep, just the third time in WHL history that a team came back from 3-0 down to win a series. But those two series, 14 games in the matter of 4 weeks, I think absolutely exhausted the Blades. They had nothing left against the Winnipeg Ice and were pretty easy pickings as a result, the Ice winning in 4 straight going on to the Western Hockey League final. This year, the Blades only take 9 games to get to this point. The only bad thing for them is that Moose Jaw's only had 9 games played. So it's everything's even, Steven, as far as things go into this series. Two very good teams, two teams that have a lot of elite level talent, National Hockey League drafted players on their roster, and it's going to be may the best team win, essentially.
Well, I mean, and it's going to be, you know, really good teams that we're going to be looking at, that's for sure, because of all the draft picks and whatnot on each teams. We maybe will go over that a bit later, but you said it's going to be, you know, an interesting series. Well, it will be, because the teams split their 6 regular season game matchups with 3 wins each. They're the 2 best teams clearly in the East. I guess you could say, Les, this is the East Final as it should be.
Yeah, it really is as it should be. I know Swift Current folks would like to say something other than that, but and I thought they might have something to say about it. They won game 1 against the Warriors 7-2, but then came back down to earth the next night, lost 7-2 to Moose Jaw in game 2, and then they moved the series to Swift Current, and the Broncos just didn't have the horses, pun intended, to come back against Moose Jaw. The Warriors were able to ground them, and that was that. So here you are with the Warriors and the Blades, the best two teams during the regular season meeting. They both declared themselves to be all in to go after a championship, and again, neither of these franchises had ever won a Western Hockey League championship. So there's a lot on the line. There's a lot of pride going on, not just for the teams themselves. I mean, the kids themselves couldn't care less about whether the teams won a franchise or the franchises won a Western Hockey League championship. But within the respective communities, it's a big deal in Saskatoon and in Moose Jaw to have their major junior team finally win a championship after so many years of waiting around for it.
You're right, Les. It is a big deal for sure. And just an update for people listening, and maybe they're thinking about making the trip down. There's still tickets available for the game, of course. As we speak, I believe they're encroaching on around 9,000 tickets sold. They're hoping for 10,000 and even more in game 2. Les Lazaruk, of course, the voice of the Saskatoon Blades. Les, you and I have done a lot of TV things together, a lot of radio things together, a lot of media stuff together. I've often asked you this, especially when we did our TV hits last year when we were going into the playoffs and obviously previewing each series. So, keys to success. Nobody knows the Saskatoon Blades better than probably just about the coaching staff and maybe the players and then you. So, keys to success for the Saskatoon Blades in this series versus the Warriors, and then I'll reverse it.
Keys for the Blades would be to not get into a track meet and to not try and go shot for shot, rush for rush with the Warriors. The Warriors are an high-octane offensive team with, you know, top 2 playoff scorers, the top regular season scorer in the Furkus Circus, Jagger Furkus. They have 4 players all in the top 10 in playoff scoring. So Moose Jaw will outscore any defensive issues that they may have, or at least they try to do that. The Blades have to play desperate defense. That's one of the keys that head coach Brendan Sonny talks about. Play desperate defense, block shots, don't let people get to the front of the net and get eyes and take away the eyes of goaltender Evan Gardner. So those are key things right there for the Blades, mostly to be disciplined. Don't let Moose Jaw get those key guys out on the ice on a power play situation. During the regular season, Moose Jaw operated at 31% on the power play. Like, that's, you're asking for trouble if you're going to take penalties all night long.
Okay, and now reverse it. What are the Warriors? I know you don't know them as well as you know the Blades, but you know them very well. What do the Warriors have to do to be successful against the Blades in this series and try to come out on top?
Well, I think a lot of it, Derek, is just basically the reversal, and that's Moose Jaw wants to make sure they can try and get some open ice and open things up against the Blades and see if they can't find a way to get in behind the defense, work down low, and make the Blades work in their own zone and take advantage of Blades' puck management errors wherever they can, because the transition game that Moose Jaw has is deadly. I mean, if you allow them to come up ice with speed against you, it doesn't matter if it's 2-on-2 or 3-on-3. They have talent to be able to make those situations that seem to be even, Steven, as far as manpower, into odd man situations that they take advantage of. And if you let them have an odd man rush, a 2-on-1, a 3-on-2, well, then their talent just takes over and they can be very good. A key thing for Moose Jaw, though, too, is to make sure that they lock it down defensively better than what they have.
Yep.
If you take a look at the stats so far, and stats are for losers, I guess, obviously, but Moose Jaw scored 47 goals in 9 playoff games. They've allowed 30. The Blades have scored 42 goals in the playoffs and have allowed only 18, and both teams have played 9 games. So to me, it's up to the Blades to be desperate on defense. It's up to the Warriors to try and accentuate that offensive firepower that they have if they can.
Well, I guess hopefully for the Blades, less defense wins championships. I mean, you take a look at the lineups these two teams have. Saskatoon has a second rounder, a third rounder, a seventh rounder, yeah, as far as NHL draftees, plus their star Igor Sidorov, and he might as well be a first rounder in my books. I mean, this guy, I believe he'll light it up in the NHL from what we see of him. Moose Jaw has a ridiculous number, 7 NHL draft picks, 3 first rounders, a second, 2 sixes, and a 7. So a lot of talent on the ice. But I guess the question is, does Saskatoon, even though they have the least draft picks between the two teams, do they have more depth, do you think?
Well, and I think that's something that the Blades feel they have an advantage in, is their depth in their bottom 6 forwards, their third and fourth line forwards, and even on their fifth and sixth defensemen. They feel pretty good. The Blades are an old team. I mean, they can dress 11 19-year-olds, which is more than anybody else in the Western Hockey League. And the last few years, for teams like Edmonton in 2022 and Seattle last year, having that type of an older roster was critical for them to be able to advance and eventually win the Western Hockey League Championship. The Blades are hoping that their 11 19-year-olds plus the 3 20s will allow them to maybe step forward and overcome, because of the depth that they have throughout the lineup, overcome a team like Moose Jaw, who has, you know, that star quality to their roster.
Talk about the extra, I guess, I don't know what the word is, but I guess the extra hoopla or draw for this being a Saskatchewan series like this, being a Moose Jaw and Saskatchewan. The history with these two teams, we know that both buildings are going to be packed. We know that SaskTel Center probably won't be sold out, because SaskTel Center holds over 14,000, but they're going to be around 10,000, maybe 11,000. The farther this series goes, maybe they will have sellouts at SaskTel Center, but just maybe the extra oomph that this series has, being Moose Jaw and Saskatoon in their history.
Yeah, it'll help to promote it, that's for sure. I mean, this is only the fourth time that these teams will play in a playoff series. The other three have been first-round series. Moose Jaw has won 2 of them, back in 2003 in 6 games, and in 2022 in 5 games. The Blades won their lone series over Moose Jaw in the opening round in 2019 in a 4-game sweep. Just looking. I'm sitting in my broadcast booth right now, by the way, at SaskDale Center. I've already set up. I'm ready to go when we're still 4 hours from game time. That's just me. That's the old-timer in me who likes to be here and likes to be set and ready to go. But I'm looking at the curtained-off upper deck off to my right in the one end where Moose Jaw is going to be shooting at twice. Everywhere else is opened up. So it seats about 11,300 with this configuration. And if they can get to that point, maybe not tonight, hopefully tomorrow, depending, I think, on the result tonight. And it may happen anyway. Even if Moose Jaw were to win game one tonight, let's say, I think you'd see a lot of people from down Moose Jaw way maybe make the trip up for tomorrow, because it being a Saturday, weather seems to be nice. Why not make your way up and see a game? But if the Blades were to win tonight, well, then maybe you start, tweaking again the imagination of the local person, saying, what am I doing tomorrow? I don't have anything to do on a weekend. It's Sunday the following day. Let's open up some more of those sections and see if we can't get a few more people here. So this isn't the sexy all Saskatchewan matchup, to be truthful. If this was Saskatoon Prince Albert, it'd be full. Mm. If it was Saskatoon Regina, I think it would be full, because there's still something to be said for the big city Saskatchewan rivalry. Saskatoon Moose Jaw, I kind of need to get warmed up to it a little bit here. And I think if the first two games prove anything, it may end up being something that, if there's a game five here, you might very well see it sold out.
All right, Les, well, we are in, this time of the season where it is that feeling, warm temperatures outside, but hockey's still being played, means we are in the playoffs. Just talk about last one here from me. Quickly, it's kind of a two-part thing, I guess. Talk about how the Blades are going into this one, how you feel they are going into this one. Is there any momentum still around from that sweep of the Red Deer Rebels? And then at the end of it, maybe I'll ask you for your prediction in game one as well.
Yeah, momentum, I don't think you can carry over. I think you have a tough time carrying it over from game to game, really. Some people will say you can. People from my days covering the Winnipeg Jets in the NHL back in the 1980s and going through playoff series, even the Edmonton Oilers, the great Gretzky, Messier, Fuhrer, Coffey teams of that era, never said that they took momentum from one game to the next. It was always momentum had to be created within the game. You had to do something in the first 5 to 10 minutes in order to recreate the momentum that you may have had following a win or a loss the previous game. You had to do something in order to recreate it. So I don't think momentum is there for either team because of the break. It's going to be somebody is going to do something spectacular at some point in time in the game, maybe early, maybe within the first 10 minutes, they're able to score a great goal, have a big hit, you get a big save, you get a big penalty kill, or you have some momentum based off of going and having a very good power play, even though it didn't score. Whatever the case may be, you're going to create the momentum, and one team or the other is going to grab it. The only thing is, though, momentum can be fleeting, I find, on individual games. It can change from period to period, depending on how things go, because hockey is such a game like that where you're going end to end that things can change up if somebody does something spectacular. So I'm really looking forward to see who's able to take the first shot and how the counterpunch happens from the other team, whichever way it ends up going.
Well, you got the Blades, Brandon Lisowski, he's a plus 14. Tanner Molendek, he's plus 12. Very impressive. He can't score when those guys are on the ice. Evan Gardner's got a 1.66 goals against average. So, I mean, a lot of people are really praising Blades head coach Brendan Sonny for how systemic his team plays with few breakdowns. So is Brendan sort of the right guy for the job at this particular moment, do you think, Les?
Well, this is his third year. He's won over 100 games in a regular season in the Western Hockey League. His playoff record is very good. He's won, three series now over the course of a couple of years. So he has been the right man to be the head coach. His coaching staff working below him, Dan DeSilva and Wacy Rabbit, have done a phenomenal job. They all have their roles. They are hard working. Like, if you go on the road with them and you're on the bus and the game's done and they may have won and they may have won handily, well, that doesn't stop them from getting on the bus, grabbing the video from the game, and immediately going through the whole thing and making notes and trying to figure out where they can be better. They remind me of Tom Sargent. Here, Bids, you're going to love this. Tom Sargent, the longtime head coach of the Saskatoon Hilltops junior football team, always said, we never play our perfect game until maybe we play it in the Canadian Bowl final. Brendan Saani is sort of the same subscriber to that theory. You're never playing a perfect hockey game until you finally win the championship. And I think everybody here has bought into that. They realize that they can't always be perfect, that they can play really good games, but not always are you going to be 100% on the money. So he is the right guy for this job. He has really put together a culture with a good group of people, with a great group of players, and everybody is bought in, and here they go. They're into round three for a second straight year.
I was going to add, Les, really quick as well, too. That might be the only thing that is similar between Brendan Saani and Tom Sargent, besides their winning record, that philosophy as well. Otherwise, probably a little bit different guys. Although, if you got to get them in the same room, there might be a few other things that they might find similar, though. But two great coaches that we're lucky to have here in Saskatoon, that's one thing that's similar for sure.
Right. Well, thanks a lot for joining us, Les. I can just feel your excitement. You're there already at SaskTel Center. You're ready to go. It's going to be a hell of a series, if I can use the word hell on the air.
And you did twice, so I hope so.
And I've been in Moose Jaw for, two of their games so far. I'm going to be there Tuesday on Wednesday, and I can't wait. The atmosphere in Moose Jaw will be incredible as well. The entire city is so jacked, it's unbelievable. We'll debate. Maybe a little later, Derek and I will debate, because he's cheering for the Blades and I'm cheering for the Warriors. We'll debate maybe later if we can. But Les, thank you very much. Outstanding interview. I really enjoyed your insights, and all the best of luck to yourself tonight. Sports Cage will continue in just a moment.